Very warm welcome to this week's Bromsgrove and Droitwich Standard podcast. Now with me I've got Claire and a couple of people who are on work experience. We're going to chat through the news today. No guests today, my fault, I hold my hands up, but we've got a two for one next week because I double booked, but we'll tell you more about that next week. Very exciting. But we've got some great news this week. North Bromsgrove High School, which was really, really struggling, has made it out of special measures in record time.
Amazing. What did they do? What was their secret?
Well, they had Lee Gray from Studley helping out after the departure of the former head teacher last year. Obviously, it was on our front page of our paper, and we were, there was a lot of concerns, and the school wasn't in a good place. Now, Lee Gray from Studley's coming. He helped out a bit. And then Nick Gibson, he was in St Benedict's School in Ulster, which was outstanding and won the Sunday Times' best school in the West Midlands 2 years running.
Fantastic.
So he's been brought in. So obviously he's got a good pedigree. And he said he had a few options. I've interviewed him this week and he's coming. I won't talk too much because he's agreed to come in a couple of weeks' time. So we'll get him on the podcast. But yeah, he said when he had a couple of schools to look at, and when he went into North Bromsgrove, he said it just felt right, and he said it didn't feel like a failing school. He said he knew he could do something there. So they had this inspection in May last month, and an unprecedented step by the inspectors. They agreed that it didn't seem like a failing school, so they agreed rather than just a quick snap inspection where you're given a red or green light. Red means you're not making any more improvements, and green means you are, and then they just go away and then it's down to the next one. They said we'll do a full inspection.
Right.
So they got good in a couple of areas, and also they still require improvement in a couple of areas, but that's only because certain factors meant that they couldn't have good in those areas. So for example, they need exam results for a couple of them. And obviously the exams, since they've been in special measures, haven't taken place. You've got the GCSEs and A-levels coming out in August. So Nick suspects, and I suspect as well, if what he's telling me is, he's as good as he is, and what the inspectors have found, that had the inspection taken place after the exam results, it would be a good school. So to go from inadequate to good in even a couple of areas, it's just immense.
Because it's a great school and they've got great facilities.
Yeah.
Was this the school that had loads of teachers resigning? Yeah,
loads of teachers were leaving. Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
There was a whole maths department walked out. And then I think loads left. One at the end of a Christmas term. Because normally teachers, we said this, didn't we, on the podcast? Normally teachers will stay till the end of the academic year and then move on to September.
There must have been something.
So there was something wrong. But we don't want to dwell on that. We want to dwell on the positives now because they have been through the mill. And and he said, to be fair, he said a lot of it was down to the kids, because he said he got a group of 30 children and said, what do you want to see at this school? And they came up with ideas like, we want a new house system. We want prefects. We want and all this. And a reward system.
Wow.
I couldn't believe the reward system, because, in this day and age, with iPads and computers and everything, getting badges and stuff. But then I think about my own daughter, and she's doing really well at school by where we live. And she's always looking at the league tables, at where she's in the points, the Vivo points, as they're called. So, yeah, so it's good.
That's
so
really refreshing news, actually.
He's got
isn't
that
it?
There, and it is refreshing news. And, yeah, that's going to be one of our big stories in the paper this week. It's gone online this morning. It's already had a fantastic reaction on social media, as you'd expect. So well done to everyone at North Bromsgrove. Long may it continue, and with a bit of luck, we'll be speaking to Nick in a couple of weeks on this very podcast.
We want to know what his secret is.
We do. We want to know the secret. I think it's hard work rolling up your sleeves and getting on with it. I think that's the main thing.
Brilliant.
So that's the main. That's one of the main stories in Bromsgrove. Let's go to Droitwich, because I was at a public meeting last night.
Do you ever have time off, Tristan?
No,
even when
I don't.
You were on holiday a few weeks ago, you were on uploading stories, talking to Sajid Javid and all that.
It was, Monday, I got in early. I got in about 8 o'clock on Monday, and I thought, because I had this meeting with Nick, the head teacher, at 3:30, and I thought, I might be finished by about 4:30 and I can head off home. I didn't leave there till 5:15, and then I got home and did a bit more. And then yesterday was the same. I got in at 8 o'clock yesterday morning, and then dashed home. Oh my God, how soaked was I yesterday?
I saw a picture. It looked like you'd been swimming.
It was absolutely terrible. I cycled from the Northfield Station, and I don't think I've ever been so wet. You could have literally wrung out all my clothes. I just don't think that. I'm going to have to get a new coat. Because I don't think that coat is waterproof, to be honest.
It's the price you pay for being a fitty, cycling to and from work and all that.
But it was awful. But I jumped straight in the shower, got out the shower. Louise, the wife, had done fajitas, very nice. Ooh. So that was good. So I wolfed them down. Then I was on the M5 in the next 15 minutes going down to Droitwich for this meeting. Now, Yew Tree Hill development. It's 765 houses. It's a 200-bed bed care home and mixed-use local centre. They went through the history last night just to give us a little reminder, so I'll do that now as well. It was thrown out by Wychhaven. Wychhaven knew the residents didn't want this. It was too much development. It was in the green belt. You know, there was nothing going for this. Bizarrely, it went to an appeal and the planning inspector agreed. But then the Secretary of State called it in and overturned it, which is like just bizarre. So all these houses were built. So then once they have the houses built, the next stage is obviously to get conditions placed on the application. But the problem is if you've lost to appeal, the developers have the upper hand. They don't necessarily have to take note. You know, they get off lighter than they would have. So there was loads of ones put in place, which makes sense to me and you and everybody else, that like... road infrastructure needs to be in place before the houses are occupied, and other things like that. What happened was they flouted the planning conditions. They've been hauled back. You know, this has been to the High Court and all sorts to get them to do this development. They had to widen Pulley Lane and make alterations to the Pulley Lane and A38 junction so that access was fair enough. And but that's meant now that a lot of people, the developers have sold the houses to them, but they can't actually move in because the developers are only allowed to keep so many houses occupied until they've completed the works.
Everything.
Now this works is, I mean, I think it started a few weeks ago, and I think there's another like 20 or 30 weeks of it to go. So it's massive infrastructure. So there was angry scenes last night. I've been to a lot of public meetings in my life, and this was one of the angriest I've ever seen. There was loads of things being levelled at the developers. And, I mean, probably most of it is justified, to be fair.
So a lot of the people there, were they people who had bought the homes and can't move in?
I think there was four people who'd bought homes, two couples or like two or three people.
And then a lot of local people.
And then a lot of them were local people were fed up about the highways issues. They were saying Tiberton, the village of Tiberton, has been impacted because people are trying to avoid roadworks, so they're going through Tiberton. Salwarp, there was concerns about Salwarp because Salwarp, someone from the village hall claimed there'd already been losses of £2,000 incurred.
Well, they've had their own roadworks going on for a while, haven't they? Going in there.
And the other thing is the Salwarp village fight. They're worried about that now because that's the biggest event of the year in the village. And they don't know how people are going to get in there. So there was that as well. Dust from buildings had caused hassles to people as well, you know, the smog caused by that. And then there was one person which made a good point. He said they don't seem to care about the community. These developers come in, build the houses, count the money and go. And I think what made it worse was the developers were invited. We've got three developers. We've got Persimmon, Redrow and Taylor Wimpey. They were officially invited by the council to attend this meeting. And they turned it down. Judging by the angry scenes last night, I could probably see why. But I asked Councillor Richard Morris afterwards what he thought of the meeting, and he said it was better to have the meeting than not have it, because when he was campaigning in the elections early this year, he said this was the big talking point on the doorstep. Everyone was concerned about this development. So everybody's gone out there and aired their views. So
there should be a clause in these contracts that the developers have to attend meetings like this if issues arise.
Yeah.
It should be, because it's so unfair, I think.
What I put last night, because I had the ear of Jack Hegarty, who's the Managing Director of Wychhaven District Council. So I said to him, I said, as an independent, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not, I've got no qualifications in planning law. I don't really wish to get any planning qualifications. But I said to him afterwards, I said, you know, surely there should be, like anywhere else, there should be like a 15-point regulation, set of regulations, guidelines, a good what do you call it, a good practice or a good code of conduct. There should be one of these for developers, surely, because it's just so annoying. And I could see all the frustration, and they were shouting over each other. To be fair to Councillor Richard Morris, he did well to calm this baying mob. But they were, rightly so. So we're going to keep an eye on this.
But now, what can the council do now if they already have lost one of the appeals?
The houses are going to be built. That's the long and short of it. And then the South Worcestershire Development Plan is going to be re-looked at again in the autumn. I think it's 28,500 homes that are built across South Worcestershire. You've got Malvern Hills, Worcester and Wychhaven. So you've got Evesham, Pershore, Droitwich. And they were saying last night, Droitwich is by far, by nowhere near the one that's taken the biggest hammering. There's villages in Evesham and Pershore that have been literally obliterated or turned into small towns and stuff. So they've got 28,500. The good news about the 28,500 is it's between now and 2031. Half of them have already been built, so they're already in place. And the planning permission's in place for a big chunk of the rest of them. So there's not that many to find. But they were saying in the autumn, the next stage, I think it was 2040 they're looking towards now, and they need to find another 14,500 houses.
It's just not good enough, though, is it? Because we keep seeing this again and again with these builders.
Oh,
they come in.
They have no
community spirit. They just build the houses off, and they don't think about the infrastructure. They don't think about the roads and the facilities.
I said to the managing director, Jack Hagerty, last night, I said, if you sat a kid down and said, build me a town out of Lego, the roads would be the first thing the kid would put in before he or she put the houses in.
So what we've learned from this podcast so far, the kids in North Bromsgrove High School, they came up with the suggestions that sorted the school out, and now the kids could build the house. Yeah. We should put it all to the kids, shouldn't we?
It is. It's all about the kids this week. The kids have the answers.
The future.
So we'll keep an eye on that. Should we see if the kids know what the answer is to the next one?
We should. We should have a kids column
in the
paper.
We'll go for pensioners' TV licences.
Oh, this is a big topic, isn't it, right
now? Our work experience people are going to be chasing this down today. We've got the TV licence. We've got the TV licence story. We've got the facts and figures, which are quite shocking. An estimated 7,350 households in Bromsgrove have 75-year-olds or above, so they're going to lose theirs. 4,620 of those are 80 and above.
Wow.
So that's not just individuals, that's households. Then in Droitwich, there are, we haven't got it scaled down to Droitwich, but there's 7,730 households with someone 75 and over in Mid Worcestershire, and 4,690, 80 and above. So it's going to impact on a lot of people.
Absolutely. Well, wasn't this brought in about 20 years ago? It was a general election, wasn't it?
Yeah,
to win the election, Labour brought it in. And to be honest, I kind of like the idea.
It was George Osborne who made them sign up to this. And now they're suddenly, seems like they're not living within their means, really.
Right.
So I don't know where we go from here. We're going to be getting a new Prime Minister, which is my next story, in a few weeks. Maybe it's something then, but it's not good. And we will be canvassing the Older People's Forum in Bromsgrove and the Older People's Forum in Droitwich.
It just seems so terribly unfair, doesn't it, to take it away from them? But then again, it's a service that they're using, but it does just seem really unfair.
We had this with the disabled parking, because disabled people have to pay parking in Bromsgrove car parks, which has caused contention. Technically they could just park out on the double yellows, couldn't they? That's caused contention for years. But then there are some disabled people who say, well, hang on a minute, I'm a lawyer or a solicitor, but I might be disabled, but I'm doing a high paid job, so I can afford to pay for my parking.
Well, didn't Sir Alan Sugar recently say he'd pay for his TV licence or something? But then again, Alan Sugar has a lot of millions in the bank, and a lot of pensioners don't. So.
But I was more under the impression that the TV licence over 75, aside from whether you can afford it or not, I was always under the impression, well, hang on a minute, if you go to a social club, when you've paid for 50 years to that social club, they give you lifetime membership for nothing after. Do you see what I mean?
I like that idea.
So it's like that. So these people, we're not just talking about over 75s, can they afford it, can't they afford it? It's the fact that they've they've paid, say they got their house when they were 20 or something, they've paid 55 years worth of TV licences. Surely that entitles them to a free one. And then the people coming up behind them, then they'll pay their 55 years and they, mind you, it'll probably be down to, they'll probably rectify it, and then it'll be, yeah, well, if you're a centenarian, you can have a TV licence for free.
It just, I don't know if the BBC just need to, it just all feels a bit antiquated, the fact that we even pay for TV licences in this country, especially when the young people nowadays, I mean, our work experience people might know about this, they often don't have TV, they just watch Netflix.
I don't have a TV licence. I don't pay for one. I literally rely on Netflix and Amazon Prime, and that's where I get
And you
TV
watch it on
shows.
Your computer.
Because a lot of the BBC shows end up on Netflix anyway. So, you know, it's as a student as well, you know, you've got to sort of think about these things. And, you know, these pensioners, I imagine a lot of them will be on state pension, and they don't get a lot of money. So, you know, to sort of withdraw this sort of advantage for them is... it's quite cruel, I think.
What about you, Charlotte? Have you got a TV licence?
Yes. Oh, I'll let
pay
for it, my dad.
Oh, there we are. That's almost a free TV licence. Yeah, I suppose, yeah. But there's, I mean, the worst one is the blind, isn't it? The blind only get like a £5 reduction or something. It might not even be that.
Yeah, and I think it's they need to sort of review the sort of, you know, whether or not they are actually discriminating against people with disabilities or people who are sort of, you know, lacking ability to sort of, you know, manage their finances and things like that, and sort of review the structure of their, you know, what they're going to provide for them, I think, because...
I mean, my line was always, if you're blind anyway, you might as well buy a black and white TV and a licence, because dogs can only see in black and white as well, so your guide dog will be all right.
Exactly. But it is also that but I think as well, the BBC, they have so many different radio stations, and they're trying to cater for everyone, and it is a national institution. You're right. I think they need to readdress what they're offering, and I love the fact that you can watch TV in this country without... commercials every 2 minutes. I've lived in America a long time, and honestly, the TV there is so annoying. You have commercials every 2 minutes, and you can't watch a normal TV show. I don't know how anyone manages it. So I, when I'm there, rely on YouTube and
I do
Netflix.
Believe that. Is it right that we only pay for a TV license because of the BBC? Because other channels are
totally
advertised. So
absolutely.
That's the only reason. It's the only...
But don't you get watching iPlayer on your PC? Because that is illegal.
Well,
if you go,
No,
it does actually say when you go onto the iPlayer, it says... Do you have a TV licence?
But again, they do make some fantastic programmes.
They do, they do. I mean, it is a good, you know, it's a good institution. It's a good public service broadcasting. But you know, they've got to find a way.
And I just feel so sorry for all our little old people. They deserve a little bit. Some of them fought for our country.
I mean, the argument is that, you know, they could make it a reasonable amount. I mean, what is it now? 150 quid.
And am I right, Tris? 1,000 of them. A million of them. They're going for 1 million across the country.
What, 1 million?
A million old age pensioning homes.
Yeah, I mean, if it's...
And that raises a whole other question as well. That's 1 million times £150, £154, is it right? £154 million, that's what they're going for in this pot. It just raises the question, what are they paying for, like, some of their reports? It wasn't... who's the football guy?
Gary Lineker.
Wasn't he reported recently getting, like, 11...
1.8 million, I think.
Which is...
Per episode or something like
No, I think we're going to clarify that. Yeah, I don't want Gary Lineker's
lawyers. He gets a lot of money
for
doing one episode of Match of the Day.
But maybe we do need to look at those things as well. And
if they're going to do it, I think they need to outline exactly where the money's going to be going towards.
Yeah.
You know, what benefits are we going to be seeing? What benefits are these older people going to be seeing who are having this, you know, sort of franchise taken away from them?
Yeah, and a lot of people are complaining because they're very biased at the moment as well, aren't they? The BBC, they've got a lot of complaints there. There are all these campaigns going on, you know, saying, I'm never watching the BBC, they're so biased.
They do claim that, a lot of people claim that they're on the Remain side of the Brexit argument, yeah.
Yeah.
They do. And I don't know, I mean, Question Time always seem pretty fair. Maybe it is a bit top-heavy with Remainers sometimes, but we'll have to wait and see.
They've got questions. They need to answers, don't they? They need answers to our questions.
They need answers to our questions. And... talking of the Prime Minister, as you were earlier.
Your mate, Sajid.
It's the latest Sajid Javid
update. I wonder if he listens in. Have you WhatsApped him?
I don't think he's got time, to be honest. He's launched his campaign today, apparently, officially. He released a video yesterday. He's having a good week. He's already had the backing of the West Mercia Police and Crime Commissioner, John Campion. Now, bearing in mind, he came out in our paper a couple of weeks ago. Well, first he announced it from our paper, which we loved. And then we got the story about the 20,000 officers on the streets. We won't mention that was cut by Theresa May.
And just in case listeners haven't heard this podcast before, Tristan is the only journalist in the country to have Sajid's private number, which is pretty special, Tristan.
Yeah, that is. He'll probably change it if it becomes bigger. So we've got John Campion backs him, and he says, "I've seen firsthand his vision, leadership, and drive as Home Secretary and as constituency MP. Sajid Javid is my leader, is the leader my party and our country needs, ensuring we boldly leave the European Union to a brighter future and more prosperous, fairer society. The Conservative Party and the country needs a leader which will deliver Brexit and then get on with delivering vital public services." Now, in the video, which you can watch, we've promoted it on our website, we just said that the video's come out. He goes back to Bristol, where he grew up in like a council estate, or like a kind of rough estate as it was then. And I think somebody called it one of the most dangerous estates in the country. His dad arrived in 1961 from Pakistan with a pound in his pocket, he says in the video. Got a job as a bus driver. His parents were workaholics, and that's the ethic. That's the ethic that he's already had. And then he's got his brother who's high up in the police as well, so he knows. I think he'll know about, what the law and order bit of the job is. Also, the thing that impresses me as well is because he's been in the Home Office. I heard him interviewed the other day talking about the Northern Irish border. They've been having a good look at that in the Home Office. Also, the immigration thing. That's another big issue in the country, and he's been doing that Home Secretary job. So he's got lots of different strands. Let's talk about the leadership battle, because he was about 7th or 8th favourite, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, various things have come out over the weekend with regard to the other candidates, which we won't go into too much. But I think the last time I checked, he was 5th or 4th. Now, the way it works is he was in the top 10. He was one of the 10 who made the initial nominations on Monday. So we're doing this on Wednesday, in case you're wondering. So tomorrow, Thursday, we should know by about 1 p.m. the number of candidates who have got 5% of the vote. Now, that's the equivalent of 17 Conservative MPs. Right. So if he gets that number, then he'll go through, and there'll be further hustings and a second ballot on June the 18th, which is Tuesday. No, when Monday, that is, isn't no, Tuesday, Tuesday, no. It's Tuesday. It's my daughter's birthday on Sunday, so that's the 16th. Tuesday is the 18th, so then he'll have that. And then the next round, they need 10%, so they need 33 MPs, and it whittles down and whittles down.
Oh, they
and
like to down. Draw it out, don't they?
No. It's like the X Factor. And then you'll have two final people, and then that will go to all of the Conservative voters. Now, obviously, Boris Johnson is far out in front. He's not everyone's cup of tea. And the nominations at the moment, you've got Jeremy Hunt. The candidates at the moment, you've got Jeremy Hunt, Dominic Raab, Matt Hancock, Michael Gove, Mark Harper, Andrea Lidsom, Esther McVeigh, Rory Stewart, and Boris Johnson, along with Sajid. So we'll see it get whittled down. So this time next week, he could be in the final two, or he could be eliminated. So we're going to keep tabs on that. It is, as I say, it's his launch of his campaign today, which we'll be covering. He's had some great backing as well. He's had the support of Caroline Noakes and Victoria Atkins, ministers, and Ruth Davidson, the leader of the Scottish
Conservatives. Do you text him from now, occasionally going, congrats, Sajid?
No, I'll save it.
For when
I'll be practising the applause emoji.
He hasn't included
and all that.
You in a WhatsApp group.
I'm not in a WhatsApp group.
PM,
that would be handy, wouldn't it?
Running for PM WhatsApp group.
Yeah. Imagine that, getting on the PM candidates WhatsApp group. They're all,
I'm going to put these on the street. What are you going to do? I'm going to lower taxes.
Yeah, I don't think Boris Johnson did himself any favours this week with a... what did he say? I'm going to raise the threshold for the rich from 50,000 to 80,000. I don't think that's done him any favours. He might be one of them where he's pulling the lion's tail just to see how much he can get away with. But
maybe.
I think 20,000 police officers on the streets will sound a lot better to the general public than rich people getting 50 grand to 80 grand tax-free allowance.
But I was reading about that.
Before they pay the higher rate, should I say.
Yeah, but I was reading about that, and a lot of rich people send their money abroad.
Yeah.
So at least it would keep it in this country. It's all... Yeah, it is all very... Everything is so double-sided. Yeah, but
he's got to get that point across to the people. It's all right saying that, but your average person in the street...
Everything you hear, there's always another side to it, and it's so complicated for someone like me.
I mean, we've got this leadership battle... Then you've got the Prime Minister. Then you're not going to know if they're going to unite the country enough for Brexit, which is, I mean, by the time that the Prime Minister's named in, like, July the 23rd, they reckon.
So is that the date?
I think that's the date that the result is thought to be.
Yeah.
Then they've got a couple of months to turn that around. And you know what the EU were like? I watched that documentary about the EU from their side of the negotiating.
Mm.
And it seemed like they were treating, you know, with a contempt, really, the people who were negotiating and the UK as a whole.
Yeah.
I think they're just worried, aren't they, really? Because if the UK come out successfully and they don't look to have done much pain, then it could just all collapse like a house of cards.
Well, I think without our money every year, it's going to be a catastrophe.
We might even be as low as sixth or something for... the amount we're paying.
That's what I'm going to say. We're like second to Germany.
I think we're fifth or fourth with the amount we pay in. But then when you take off...
They get all the money back. We're actually second.
Second biggest net contributors, I think, is the best way of saying it. So, yeah, so we'll watch that. I mean, I don't know why they have to do, you know... I said this in my editor's comment a few months back. If they'd have just left it as a trading block, then I don't think there would have been any problem.
Well, this is what our parents' generation was saying. The other day I was talking to some of them, and they were saying they voted to go in, but it was an economic community.
It's not about, you know, European armies and things like that, because if there was a dictator from somewhere,
absolutely, and
they've got a whole European army at their disposal rather than just their nation's one. So there's all that. I've said this before, I think it is different in Europe, maybe, because we've got that little bit of sea between us. So I don't think we've got the same mindset and the same culture as
a lot of French Europeans. People, a lot of Italians there on, you know, they want to come out.
Yeah.
I definitely know.
There was a rise in the right-wing vote. Mm. But we'll have to wait and see.
Well, it's all exciting
times. It needs reforming.
We need to put it to the kids.
Yeah, that's it. Get the kids in. No, we need to reform it. And then they were saying, you're better off reforming it from the inside. But we've tried reforming it from the inside. David Cameron went to try and get something and came back with probably less than what we had to begin with. And then Theresa May, we've seen the struggles there. So, yeah, get the kids in.
Maybe Sanjay
North Bromsgrove High School. Sajid Javid and North Bromsgrove High School all sorted.
We've got the answer right here on our doorstep.
I think we ought to podcast it as well, so we've got it on record.
That'd be a nice podcast, get the kids in.
The day the EU was sorted out on the Bromsgrove and Droitwich Standard podcast.
Amazing.
I think we're going to finish with this, which is we've got some lovely pictures on our website, so check them out. The D-Day landings last week. I got a message from Reverend Ray Khan on the Wednesday, and he was saying he was going to do a D-Day landings event at the War Memorial, the War Monument, mustn't call it a memorial because there's no names on it, a War Monument in Bromsgrove at 8 a.m. on the Thursday morning. So he said, can you promote it? And I said, I'll come along. And we Facebook Lived it last Thursday morning. So I was on the bus to Bromsgrove at 7 o'clock in the morning, like the old days when we had the office there. And we were stood there around the war memorial. There's only a war monument. I keep saying memorial.
There was only a few, memorial a few times.
I just say that stone thing, crowd close. And then it was very nice. There was a couple of veterans there, and everyone just it was only a short service, but we broadcast it live on Facebook Live, and I think it had about 20-30 people watching it live. Obviously a lot of people are going to work in the morning and driving, and however much, you know, we need to pay tribute to the D-Day landings and stuff, don't obviously watch the video while you're driving, so that's what we're putting it down to. But since then it's had over 1,000 views.
Oh, amazing.
So that's great. So we got some then there was a service on Sunday at St Godwald's Church, where there's actually a piece of a sculpture dedicated to the D-Day landings. So days. So we've got that was a service there, and we've got some pictures from that. And then Droitwich on Saturday afternoon in Victoria Square, there was a parade and some very poignant readings and prayers. So that was there on Droitwich. So we're going to have all that in our paper this week, along with the website, if you want more pictures on that. Nice. So yeah, it's been a busy week again.
Very busy week. Always a busy week for you.
And we've got two guests to squeeze in next week, so fantastic. We can look forward to that.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for all that roundup.
Well, that's about all we've got for the news, but stay tuned because Claire is going to be here telling you what you could be doing in the next few days in Bromsgrove and Droitwich if you're out and about.
You're listening to the Bromsgrove Standard Podcast because you have impeccable taste.
Thanks, Tristan. Once again, we've got some fun things happening this weekend in town. My name is Claire Bullivant at the Bromsgrove and Droitwich Standards, and these are my top picks of things to do and see this week in the Bromsgrove and Droitwich areas. Starting off your Father's Day weekend on Saturday the 15th of June, how about a lovely day in the countryside with some Father's Day falconry? It's all happening at Hanbury Hall and Gardens. This is falconry expert Trevor Hill. He's back with his majestic birds of prey. There'll be impressive flying displays throughout the weekend where Trevor will be showing off what his birds can do. You can also enjoy the house and gardens. It's a lovely day out and a nice time for the whole family. 9 a.m. start there on both days, and it's running all day Saturday and Sunday. Also on Saturday, now this is fun and a bit messy, as it's messy madness happening at Churchfields Farm in Salwarp, Droitwich. This is a 5K route of powdered paint, foam, and even more grunge than last year, they tell me. There's going to be a DJ, activities and fun for all the family. Oh, and all the runners also get the best ice cream in the world. It's Churchfields Farm's own ice cream. Sign up at churchfields-farm.co.uk, and we hope to see you there on Saturday. On Saturday night, we've got Planet Rock UK live music on there at the Hot Pole Inn. Great venue and always fun rocking out there. And Tunky Pig, they're going to be on at the Old Black Cross on the Worcester Road in Bromsgrove on Saturday night. And Sard Fox Jew, he's performing at the Hot Pole Inn in Droitwich. And we've also got the Reflections, Sounds of the 60s, happening at Hanbury Village Hall on Saturday evening. And over in Droitwich, our podcast pick is Up on the Roof, a theatrical production at the Norbury Theatre in Droitwich. This is featuring hits by composers including Rodgers and Hammerstein and Gilbert and Sullivan and many more. Norburytheatre.co.uk for your tickets for that. Moving on to Sunday, the 16th of June. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And how about starting your Sunday with some yoga in the park? Sanders Park, that is. 10:30 a.m, meet at the bandstand and you'll be bending your bodies and being awesome. Namaste. And you may as well just stick around there all day, as there's also bandstand music in the park starting at 2:30 p.m. and running until 4:30 p.m. Take a deck chair or just use your yoga mat and listen to the live music. And it doesn't stop there on Sunday, because we also like the sound of the Easy Sunday event happening at the Artrix. This is a whole afternoon with a feel-good film, music, amazing street food and great company. They tell us Easy Sundays are the perfect way to spend time with your family and friends, and all you need to do is just turn up and relax. Sounds perfect, right? Check out artrix.co.uk for all the details. Then finally, just a couple of events to put in your diary for next week. On Thursday, the 20th of June, it's the start of the Sonic Rock Solstice Festival happening at Stoke Prior Sports and Country Club. This is a festival featuring out-of-this-world, psychedelic, space rock, progressive and blues bands, etc. from all over the UK and Europe. Find out all the details on their Facebook page, and apparently it's an incredible time, so do get your tickets and we hope to see you at that. There's also a Strings on a Summer Evening event happening on Thursday the 20th of June in the new Gelston Hall at Avoncroft. This is going to be a marvellous evening of classical favourites played by the Astaria String Quartet. 7:30 p.m, check out the Avoncroft website for details there. And also don't forget to get your tickets to see My Fair Lady at the Norbury Theatre in Droitwich next week. This is the award-winning story story of the Cockney flower girl transformed into an elegant lady and widely considered one of the greatest musicals of all time. Norburytheatre.co.uk for all the info on that. And that concludes our roundup of events to see and do this weekend in town. If you have an event that you'd like included, please do get in touch with us. You can email your event details or give us a call, and we'll help you publicise it to all the readers of our paper, listeners of this podcast, and we'll also pop you on our social media channels. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great weekend. Back to you, Tristan.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's Bromsgrove and Droitwich Standard podcast. We'll be back at the similar time next week. And remember, if you want to get in touch on a daily basis, you can email us, editor@bromsgrovestandard.co.uk, editor@droitwichstandard.co.uk. Those are form part of the websites as well, bromsgrovestandard.co.uk, droitwichstandard.co.uk. Daily updates to keep you up to date with the news. And also, remember to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and we've got Instagram as well, and you'll be getting the updates through there, so you really can stay in tune with your local community. Have a great week. I hope the rain eases off, and hopefully I don't get as soaked as I did yesterday. I think that must be a record. And pray for some sunshine, and we'll speak to you next week.
Bye.